Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take your sources, cut through the noise, and really uncover the essential insights you need.
Exactly. It's all about getting right to that core knowledge quickly and clearly, tailored specifically for, you know, your interest in this particular topic.
And today we are diving deep into this stack of material all about basal metabolic rate. You might know it as BMR. Mm-hmm. Think of this as like a custom analysis just for you. We're pulling out the absolute core stuff from these sources you shared.
Yeah, our mission today is to really understand what BMR actually is, why it's such a big deal for, well, your daily energy use and weight management.
Right.
What factors influence it. And importantly, how you can get a handle on estimating your own BMR.
Okay, sounds good. Let's unpack this then. Get right to the good stuff. Where do we even start? What exactly is basal metabolic rate?
Okay, so at its simplest, BMR is basically your body's base cost just for staying alive.
Base cost.
You think of it like the absolute minimum number of calories your body needs just to perform the essential life-sustaining functions when you're completely at rest.
So like breathing, things like that.
Exactly. Breathing, keeping your blood circulating, repairing cells, all that internal work that happens even when you're just lying there, totally still.
So even when I'm doing absolutely nothing, my body's still burning calories just to keep the engine running?
Precisely. It's your body's idle speed, you could say, the mm-hmm. fundamental energy cost, just to keep the lights on.
Uh-huh.
One of the sources used a really neat analogy, actually. Think of BMR as your body's Netflix subscription fee.
Huh. Okay. I like that.
It's that fixed cost you have to pay every single day, whether you're actively, you know, binge watching a series or just letting it sit there.
That makes sense. A fixed cost. Now, I've definitely heard BMR used, but also RMR, resting metabolic rate. Are they the same thing? Or, you know, does the difference matter much?
That's a great question. And yeah, they get used interchangeably a lot in casual conversation. But technically, there is a distinction.
Okay.
BMR is that absolute rock bottom minimum measured under really strict laboratory conditions.
Like super controlled.
Super controlled. You need to be fasted for 12, 14 hours, completely at rest, like no fidgeting, and in what they call a thermoneutral environment. So your body isn't working to warm up or cool down.
Wow. Okay. That sounds intense.
It is. RMR, on the other hand, resting metabolic rate, is a bit less strict. It includes your BMR plus the energy used for very low effort activities.
Like what?
Things like, well, blinking, maybe some slight fidgeting, even just the energy cost of passively digesting food from your last meal.
So RMR is maybe a bit more real world applicable, easier to figure out.
Often, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to measure or estimate outside that super strict lab setting.
Sure.
And because it includes those tiny extra energy expenditures, RMR is usually about 10% higher than your true BMR.
Okay, 10% higher. Got it.
So for most practical purposes, you know, estimating your RMR gives you a pretty good idea, and it's just more accessible.
What really jumped out at me from the sources was why this base rate, this BMR, matters so much. Especially when we talk weight management, we tend to put so much focus on, you know, hitting the gym or specific diets.
Right.
But the sources suggest BMR is actually the biggest piece of the puzzle.
That's the really surprising part, isn't it? The sources highlight this fact. BMR accounts for a massive 60 to 70% of your total daily energy expenditure.
Wait, 60 to 70%? Seriously?
Seriously. It's huge.
So way more than half the calories I burn every day are just keeping me alive at rest.
That's exactly it. Now, compare that to, say, the energy used for digestion, the thermic effect of food that's typically only around 10% of your daily burn.
Hmm.
Or even the calories you burn during, like, a focused workout session. That varies a lot, obviously. But for most people, it's rarely the majority chunk of their daily total.
Wow. Okay, that changes things.
It really does. It means understanding your BMR, this significant fixed energy cost, is absolutely crucial if you're trying to manage your weight, whether that's losing, gaining, or just maintaining.
It really sounds like BMR is the non-negotiable rent or utility bill in your daily calorie budget.
That's a perfect analogy.
And I guess trying to drastically cut that budget, say, by severely slashing calories, probably has some knock-on effects.
Oh, absolutely. This is where BMR's adaptive nature really shows up.
Yeah.
And it's actually a powerful survival mechanism, even if it's frustrating for weight loss.
How so?
Well, when you drastically restrict calories, think crash diets, your body senses a potential famine,
yeah,
right? It thinks, uh-oh, energy is scarce.
Okay. Survival mode kicks in.
Exactly. And yeah, one of its main strategies is to become more energy efficient, to conserve fuel.
And how does it manage that?
By slowing down its metabolic rate, by lowering your BMR. The sources specifically mention that these very low-calorie crash diets can actually reduce your BMR by up to 15%.
15%? That's significant.
It is. And that's a key reason why weight loss often plateaus on those kinds of diets, or why weight regain can happen afterward. Your body is literally adapted to run on fewer calories by lowering its fundamental energy requirement. It's burning less fuel, just idling.
Okay, so BMR is this huge baseline. It's somewhat fixed, but it can drop quite a bit if you cut calories too drastically. So what factors actually, you know, increase BMR? What moves the needle in the other direction?
Right. This is where understanding your body composition becomes really, really important. The sources place a huge emphasis on the difference between muscle mass and body fat.
Okay, muscle versus fat. Let's talk about that. Which one is the bigger calorie burner when you're just sitting around?
No contest. It's muscle. The sources give us some specific numbers here. Muscle burns roughly 6 calories per pound per day just at rest.
6 calories per pound. Okay. And fat?
Body fat. Only about 2 calories per pound per day at rest.
Wow. Okay, so muscle is burning like 3 times more calories than fat just while you're resting.
Exactly. 3 times more metabolically active.
Yeah.
This is such a critical point. It means 2 people could weigh exactly the same.
Right.
But the person with more lean muscle mass and less body fat will naturally have a higher BMR. They'll burn more calories just existing.
So it's not just about the number on the scale. It's about what that weight is made of.
Precisely. And the sources give a concrete example. Just gaining 5 pounds of muscle, which isn't a huge amount, could boost your daily resting calorie burn by around 30 calories.
Okay. Doesn't sound like a massive number daily, but I guess that adds up over weeks and months.
It really does compound over time. And height plays a role, too, generally speaking.
What?
Taller individuals tend to have higher BMRs simply because they have more body mass overall to maintain.
Okay, so muscle is key. What about other things? Do things like different life stages or temporary conditions affect BMR?
Oh, definitely. Your BMR isn't just set in stone. It fluctuates. For example, pregnancy requires a lot more energy, right? So metabolic rate increases by about 20% during pregnancy to support both the mother and the growing fetus.
20%? Wow.
Yeah. And then conversely, menopause is often linked with a metabolic slowdown, maybe around 5 to 10%. But the sources are careful to point out this is largely connected to the natural decline in muscle mass that can happen around that time if it's not actively counteracted.
Okay. So it's not age itself that's the villain necessarily, but the potential loss of that metabolically active muscle tissue that often comes with it.
Exactly. The sources really stress that distinction. They say that after about age 20, your metabolic rate can decrease by roughly 5% per decade.
Right.
But this is largely preventable, or at least can be mitigated by staying active and maintaining muscle mass.
Yeah.
That decline isn't inevitable.
Good to know.
And then there are temporary things, too, like a single shot of espresso. That can give your metabolism a little kick, boosting it by 3 to 11% for a few hours.
Huh, interesting.
And if you have a fever, say you're sick, your body burns more calories trying to fight it off about 7% more for every degree Fahrenheit, your temperature goes up.
Makes sense. Your body's working harder.
Exactly. And of course, as we already mentioned, those crash diets can slash it temporarily by up to 15%.
Right, that adaptive drop. What about the thyroid? We always hear about thyroid and metabolism being linked. What do the sources say there?
Yeah, the thyroid definitely comes up. The sources state that while thyroid issues can affect metabolism, for most people, they rarely cause major weight gain on their own.
Okay.
An underactive thyroid, hypothyroidism, can slow metabolism down a bit. But significant weight gain usually only happens if the condition is quite severe and goes untreated.
And an overactive one.
Hyperthyroidism, yeah, that can dramatically increase metabolism, sometimes even doubling the burn rate. But it's relatively uncommon compared to milder variations.
So the takeaway is?
The sources reiterate that for the vast majority of people, body composition, that muscle-to-fat ratio we talked about, is a much, much bigger driver of their BMR than typical minor thyroid fluctuations are.
Got it. Muscle matters most, generally speaking. What about elite athletes? Do they just have naturally super high BMRs?
That's a common thought, but the sources clarify it. Elite athletes obviously have a much higher total daily energy expenditure.
Right, because they train so much.
Exactly. It's overwhelmingly due to their intense activity levels, not necessarily a dramatically higher BMR itself.
Mm-hmm.
Their BMR might be slightly higher than average because, yes, they usually carry more muscle mass,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like their internal engine is just magically running twice as fast at rest simply because they're an athlete. The huge calorie burn comes from the doing, the training.
Okay, that makes sense. And you mentioned earlier estimating BMR, the sources had a warning about fitness trackers.
Yeah, a little word of caution.
Yeah.
Many fitness trackers, you know, smartwatches and the like, they provide BMR estimates. But these are just estimates, and they might not be entirely accurate. As one source kind of bluntly put it, your smartwatch might be lying.
Huh. Okay. So if the watch might be off, how can someone get a more reliable estimate of their own BMR or maybe their RMR?
Well, getting an estimate is still really useful. Or it gives you a starting point for understanding your minimum energy needs. One of the classic methods the sources mention is the Harris-Benedict equation.
Harris-Benedict. Okay, sounds a bit technical. Is it hard to use?
Not really. It sounds more complex than it is. It basically just uses a few pieces of personal data. Your age, your height, and your weight.
Oh, okay. Just those three things.
Yep. Once you have those numbers, you can plug them into the formula. You can easily find calculators online, and it gives you a calculated estimate of your BMR. Pretty straightforward once you have the info.
Are there other ways? Other equations, maybe?
Yes. The sources mention a couple of alternatives that might be better for certain people. There's the Mifflin-St.-Jure equation, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
That one's often considered a bit more accurate, especially for individuals who are carrying more weight in the obese category.
Okay.
And then there's the Catch-McArdle formula. But that one's a bit trickier because it requires you to know your body fat percentage.
Ah, which isn't always easy to figure out accurately at home.
Exactly. You often need specific tools or tests for that. So different equations exist depending on what info you have available or your specific situation.
Makes sense. Any quick shortcuts?
Well, for just a rough ballpark figure, the sources mention that RMR resting metabolic rate is generally about 10% higher than BMR. Or you could say BMR is about 90% of RMR.
Ah, right, from earlier.
Yeah. So if you can get a decent estimate of your RMR, you can kind of work backwards to get a rough idea of your BMR. The absolute key thing, though, with any of these methods is using accurate measurements for your height and weight.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out.
Precisely. And be honest with yourself, especially if you're using methods later on that add activity multipliers. It's easy to overestimate how active we really are.
Good point. Okay, so we've covered what BMR is, why it's this foundational energy cost, what influences it, especially muscle, and how we can try to estimate it. So putting it all together, what are the practical takeaways from the sources? How can someone actually, you know, support or maybe even optimize their BMR?
Okay, practical stuff. Given how powerful muscle mass is for BMR, the single most impactful strategy highlighted is focusing on building and maintaining lean muscle.
So lifting weights. Resistance training.
Exactly. Resistance training is key. That could be lifting weights, using resistance bands, even body weight exercises like push-ups and squats. The sources actually state that doing consistent resistance training can increase your resting metabolic rate by 5 to 9% over about 6 months.
Just by building that muscle tissue.
Just by increasing that metabolically active tissue, it's a fundamental way to nudge that baseline burn rate higher.
And diet plays a role in supporting that muscle, right?
Absolutely critical. You need to pair that resistance training with enough protein. Protein provides the building blocks for muscle repair and growth. The sources suggest aiming for around 0.7 to maybe 1 gram of protein per pound of your body weight each day, especially if you're active.
Okay, build muscle, feed the muscle. Got it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, the sources touch on a few other, maybe smaller, potential metabolic nudges.
Yeah.
Things like cold exposure, sipping ice water or taking slightly cooler showers might give a small temporary boost, maybe 3 to 7%.
Interesting.
Using a standing desk more often, increasing that non-exercise activity, or even adding spicy foods like chili peppers with capsaicin to your meals could offer a tiny temporary kick too.
Little things that might add up.
Maybe. But the big lever is definitely muscle.
Hmm.
And related to that, proactively combating that potential age-related muscle loss through continued activity and smart eating seems crucial for countering the natural slowdown we talked about.
Right. Stay strong to keep the metabolism humming along.
That's the idea. Oh, and one really important caution was included. If you find yourself losing weight without trying, unexpectedly,
yeah,
that's usually not a sign that your metabolism is suddenly going into overdrive for a good reason. It could actually signal an underlying health issue.
Ah, okay. So unexplained weight loss needs checking out.
Definitely. That's something to discuss with a doctor or healthcare professional for sure.
Okay, this has been really insightful. We've definitely done a deep dive into your source material on basal metabolic rate.
Yeah, we've unpacked quite a bit. We saw that BMR is that fundamental energy cost, the body's cost of living, making up that huge 60-70% chunk of your daily burn.
Right. We distinguish it from the slightly higher RMR.
We explored what really influences it, highlighting the major role of muscle mass compared to body fat, but also things like pregnancy, menopause, age, mainly via muscle loss, and even temporary boosts from caffeine or fever.
And how crash diets can unfortunately lower it.
Exactly. We looked at how you can estimate your BMR with tools like the Harris-Benedict equation and discussed those really practical strategies, especially resistance training and protein intake, to support that metabolic baseline.
Hopefully this deep dive leaves you feeling much more informed about your body's incredible and often underestimated fixed energy costs.
Absolutely. And we also saw how adaptable the body is. Lowering BMR during severe calorie restriction is a powerful survival tool, even if it feels counterproductive sometimes.
So maybe a final thought to leave you with, building on all this. If BMR really is that essential cost of living for your body, how might consistently working with that baseline, you know, supporting it by building muscle, giving it enough fuel, how might that lead to more sustainable energy management and better overall health in the long run, compared to maybe constantly fighting against it with drastic cuts?
Definitely something to consider as you navigate your own health journey. Thanks for bringing us your sources for this deep dive.
Until next time.